Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today Masechus Ksubis, Daf Ein Zayin, the final Daf in the seventh Perek Hamadir. The Zikud Masechus Ksubis program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the second mission, the Daf states that Eilu Shekofin Oso Lahosi, and these are the men whom he forced to divorce their wives. Mukheshkin Ubal Palipos, a man smitten with boils, a man who has palipos, which is either a bad odor from the nose or bad breath, and the following men, Hamakamet, Hamatsarf, Nechoshes, Bahabursi, a gatherer of excrement, a refiner of copper, and a tanner. Rashi explains that these are repulsive professions and she's not able to bear the odor. This is true whether the defects were there before they married or they developed after they married. Remer said concerning all of them, even he had stipulated with her that she would marry him despite the defect, she can say later, Savur Hayisi Shani Yechol Kabel, I thought I would be able to tolerate it, but now I see that I cannot. Come say, if he made a stipulation with her, Mekabelas Yal Korcha, she must tolerate the defect against her will, Chutz Memukushchin, except for a Mukushchin, because by having relations with him, she causes his flesh to fall apart. Point number two was taught in a brace where Biosi said, as Zakin from Yerushalayim told me that there are 24 kinds of mukheshchin, and concerning all of them, the Chachamim said that marital relations are harmful for them, ubay ra'asan kashim makuan, and for those afflicted with ra'asan, marital relations are more harmful than the others. Or she explains that ra'asan is a parasite that lives in the space between the inside of the skull and the membrane of the brain. The Gemara explains that if a man and woman had blood let, and then they had relations, they will have children that are bali ra'asan. A papa qualified this and said that this is only if they did not eat after they had bloodlet. The person afflicted with it will have teary eyes, a running nose, spittle from his mouth, and flies swarm around him. After the Gemara mentions Amorai who took precautions for getting too close to those with Ra'asan, it brings Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who stuck close to them and was involved in Torah learning. He said the pasuk calls Torah, Ayal Sahavim V'yalazchen, a beloved hind, and she effuses charm. If the Torah bestows charm upon those who study it, will not protect them from disease as well. The Mepharshim explained that if Torah imparts charm to one who currently does not have it, it will certainly protect those that already do have it. And pointing to the Gemara writes that when the time for Yeshua ben Levi to die arrived, the Malach HaMavis was told, Zila Avid Le'ruuse, go and do for him as he wishes. Yeshua ben Levi requested that he be shown his place in Gan Eden, and that the Malach give him his knife so no harm would come to him. When Rabbi Yeshua was lifted above the wall to be shown his place, he leaped over and fell to the other side, but the Malach held onto his cloak. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi swore that he would not return. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach that if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had ever taken an oath and then had it annulled, he must return, but if not, he could stay. Since he had never had an oath annulled, he was able to stay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to give the knife back to the Malach, since he needs it to take the lives of others. The Gemara continues with an exchange that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was sitting on 13 chairs of fine gold. So once again, the three points are number one. The second mission of the Daf states, Ve'el Shekofin Oso Lahotzi, and these are the men whom we forced to divorce their wives. Mukheshkin Ubali Palipos, a man smitten with boils, a man whose palipos, which is either a bad odor from the nose or bad breath, and the following men. Hamakamets, Hamatsarf Nechoshes, Bahabursi, a gatherer of excrement, a refiner of copper, and a tanner. Rashi explains that these are repulsive professions and she's not able to bear the odor. This is true whether the defects were there before they married or they developed after they married. Remer said concerning all of them, even he had stipulated with her that she would marry him despite the defect, she can say later, Savur Hayisi Shani Yechol Kabel, I thought I would be able to tolerate it, but now I see that I cannot. Come say, if he made a stipulation with her, Mekabelas Yal Korcha, she must tolerate the defect against her will, Chutz Memukushchin, except for a Mukushchin, because by having relations with him, she causes his flesh to fall apart. Point number two was taught in a brace where Biosi said, as Zakin from Yerushalayim told me that there are 24 kinds of mukheshchin, and concerning all of them, the Chachamim said that marital relations are harmful for them, ubay ra'asan kashim makuan, and for those afflicted with ra'asan, marital relations are more harmful than the others. Rashi explains that ra'asan is a parasite that lives in the space between the inside of the skull and the membrane of the brain. The Gemara explains that if a man and woman had blood let, and then they had relations, they will have children that are bali ra'asan. A papa qualified this and said that this is only if they did not eat after they had bloodlet. The person afflicted with it will have teary eyes, a running nose, spittle from his mouth, and flies swarm around him. After the Gemara mentions Amorai who took precautions for getting too close to those with Ra'asan, it brings Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who stuck close to them and was involved in Torah learning. He said the pasuk calls Torah, Ayal Sahavim V'yalazchen, a beloved hind, and she effuses charm. If the Torah bestows charm upon those who study it, will not protect them from disease as well. The Mepharshim explained that if Torah imparts charm to one who currently does not have it, it will certainly protect those that already do have it. And point of it, the Gemara writes that when the time for Yeshua ben Levi to die arrived, the Malchum Mavis was told, Zila Avid Le'ruuse, go and do for him as he wishes. Yeshua ben Levi requested that he be shown his place in Gan Eden, and that the Malch give him his knife so no harm would come to him. When Rabbi Yeshua was lifted above the wall to be shown his place, he leaped over and fell to the other side, but the Malch held on to his cloak. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi swore that he would not return. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malch that if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had ever taken an oath and then had it annulled, he must return, but if not, he could stay. Since he had never had an oath annulled, he was able to stay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to give the knife back to the Malch, since he needs it to take the lives of others. The Gemara continues with an exchange of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had with Rabbi Yishun Bar Yochai, who was sitting on 13 chairs of fine gold. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Ein Zayin and understand Simon as a goat. A goat. So here goes. The dejected tanner carrying his smelly goat hides, who was just divorced by his wife, met up with his mucher shechin friend suffering from Rasan, who was gorning with a rabbi, who then jumped over a fence into a beautiful garden that looked like Gan Eden, never to be seen again. Once again, slow motion. The dejected tanner carrying his smelly goat hides. Goat? That must be Moran Daf Ein Zayin. The dejected tanner carrying his smelly goat hides, who was just divorced by his wife, which reminds Rumer said, concerning all the repulsive men, such as a tanner and a gatherer of excrement, that a woman may divorce, Afopisha Hisnima, even if he had stipulated with her that she would marry him, despite his defects, she can say later, Sabur Hayisi Shani Yechol Kabel, I thought I'd be able to tolerate, but now that I see I can't. But the Chachamim say, if he made a stipulation with her, she must tolerate the defect against her will, except for a Mucher Shechin, because by having Roshans with him, she causes his flesh to fall apart. So the dejected tanner carrying his smelly goat hides, who was just divorced by his wife, met up with his Mucher Shechin friend suffering from Rasan, who was learning with a rabbi, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi said, a Zakim from Yerushalayim told me that there are 24 kinds of Mucher Shechin, and concerning all of them, the Chachamim said that marital relations are harmful for them, Ubali Rasan, Kashmakulan, and those afflicted with Rasan. Marital relations are more harmful than the others. After the war mentions Amoraim who took precautions from getting too close to those with Rasan, it brings Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who stuck close to them and was involved in Torah learning, as he learned that the Torah will certainly protect those that already have it. So the dejected tanner carrying a smelly goat hides, who was just divorced by his wife, met up with his Mucher Shechin friend suffering from Rasan, who was learning with a rabbi, who then jumped over a fence into a beautiful garden that looked like Gan Eden, never to be seen again, which reminds us of the story of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and the Malch Mavis, and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's leaping into Gan Eden. So once again, the dejected tanner carrying a smelly goat hides, who was just divorced by his wife, met up with his Mucher Shechin friend suffering from Rasan, who was learning with a rabbi, who then jumped over a fence into a beautiful garden that looked like Gan Eden, never to be seen again. All right, now time for four blah blah chazara. Daf Ein Gimel. So the Simur Daf Ein Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The ostrich farmer who was Makadosh a woman with a giant ostrich egg. Giant ostrich egg? That must be run Daf Ein Gimel. The ostrich farmer was Makadosh a woman with a giant ostrich egg with a Tanai she had no Nadarim written on it, which reminds us it was stated Kicha al Tanai Knasa Stam. One is Makadosh a woman with a Tanai, but married her without a Tanai. Rav says, Tzricha men a get, the marriage is valid, and she therefore requires a get. But Shmuel says, Ein a Tzricha men a get, the marriage is not valid, and therefore does not require a get. Abai said, Rav's reason is, Lefisha ein adam osa bi'a so bi'a znus, that a man does not let his bi'a be considered a bi'a of znus. Rashi explains that if he had waived his earlier Tanai, then not only would the marriage be valid, but she would also be entitled to her ksuba. So the ostrich farmer was Makadosh a woman with a giant ostrich egg with a Tanai. She had no Nadarim written on it, and then took the egg back when he divorced her after Erison and married her again without the egg. Which reminds us, Abai revises a statement made by Rabba to say, Malchokos betalus isha achas ke'ein shtei noshim. The Malchokos between Rabba and Shmuel is regarding an error involving one woman that is like an error involving two women. Rashi explains that the cases where one was Makadosh a woman with a Tanai that she does not have any Nadarim and then divorced her during Erison, he then took her back and married her without any Tanai, and then it was discovered that she had Nadarim. So the ostrich farmer was Makadosh a woman with a giant ostrich egg with a Tanai she had no Nadarim written on it, and then took the egg back when he divorced her after Erison and married her again without the egg, could not tell from his father's silence if that meant he consented to the Kedushin, which reminds us, Abai challenged Rabba from a brisa that taught, if a man said to a woman, Harni balech amanashi yirza abba, behold, I'm having relations with you, as Kedushin on condition that my father consent, even if it turns out that the father did not consent, she is mekudeshes. The Gemara says that the Tanna Kamma holds that the man really meant amanas sheyishto ka'av, on condition that the father will remain silent and not object, and the father remains silent. Therefore, the condition is valid. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds that he really means amanas sheyomer abahen, on condition that the father will say yes, and the father did not say yes. Therefore, the condition is invalid. Daf ein dalet. So the Simra daf ein dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The confused aidim. Aidim, that must be run daf ein dalet, aid. The confused aidim to the chalitza mutes, where the yavam was told the yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't. Which reminds us, a chalitza mutes is kosher omer lecholitzla amanashe titin lecha matayim zuz. Wherever the yavam was told, perform a chalitza in order that the yavama gives you 200 zuz. Rav Acha ben Rav Ika said, why is the chalitza valid? It's because the avid maisa al chuli achli l'tanai. Since he performed an act without reiterating the tanai, it must mean he was mochel on the tanai. Here too, where he was makadosh al tanai but had beer without reiterating the tanai, he must have been mochel on the tanai. So the confused aidim to the chalitza mutes, where the yavam was told the yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't, were taught the parsha b'nei Gad and b'nei Reuven to understand why the tanai was invalid. Which reminds us, Rav Acha explained why the chalitza case is different. Since all tanaim are learned from the tanai that Moshe made with b'nei Gad and b'nei Reuven, a tanai must resemble that original tanai and be able to be carried out by a shaliach, just like Moshe made Yehoshua his shaliach. Tanai the lev shel kiyumi ad shaliach lo havi tanai. Tanai that cannot be carried out by a shaliach is not a valid tanai, and a chalitz cannot be done by a shaliach. Therefore, no tanai can be attached to it. So the confused aidim to the chalitza mutes, where the yavam was told the yavama would pay him 200 zuz, but didn't, were taught the parchment b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven to understand why the tanai was invalid by a doctor and a chacham called in as backup to try to help a woman with a physical defect and a vow. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brayta regarding a case where the husband was mekadesh a woman on condition that she had no vows or physical defects. If she went to a chacham and he was matir the neder, she's mekadeshes. If she went to a doctor who healed her, she's not mekadeshes. What's the difference? Chacham okras a neder mikaru v'rofa enu marape el mikanu haba. A chacham uproots the neder retroactively from its very inception, while a doctor cures the defect only moving forward. Daf ein hay. So the simmer daf ein hay is an amaharetz. So here goes. It was a match made in heaven when the short as an ant, Amaharetz. Amaharetz, that must be more in Daf Ein Hey. It was a match made in heaven when the short as an ant, Amaharetz, who combed wool as a profession. Which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that women prefer to be married than being alone, even if it means marrying someone who's exceptionally short or has a repulsive profession like combing wool. So it was a match made in heaven when the short as an ant, Amaharetz, who combed wool as a profession, met the sweaty woman with the mole who had bad breath. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had said, Kol mumin shepostim kohanim all blemishes. The disqualified kohanim from their avodah are considered blemishes for a marriage when the husband was mekadesh with the tanai that there be no blemishes. A braisa taught, hosifu olen zeh v'shuma v'reach hapeh. They added the following defects for marriage, which are not defects for kohanim: perspiration, a mole, and bad breath. So it was a match made in heaven when the short as an ant, Amaharetz, who combed wool as a profession, met the sweaty woman with the mole who had bad breath, and somehow he didn't notice her blemishes until she was already in his house. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hayibamumim ba'od ba'beis avia. If physical blemishes were found in her after her erison, but while she was still in her father's house, the father must bring proof that they came to her after erison, v'nistachav ha'sadehu, so that it's the husband's field that was flooded, so to speak. If she entered the rishus of her husband before they were found, the husband must bring proof that they were there before, v'hayamechel mechokhtalus, and his acquisition was an acquisition made in error. Blazer says the ratio reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua and the same for the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Dafine Vav. So the Simmer Dafine Vav is an IV tube or bag. So here goes. The newly married nurse with the IV bag. IV bag? That must be more in Daf Ein Vav. The newly married nurse with the IV bag who just told her husband who discovered her mum, Manali Biyadcha, which reminds us, Ravashi interpreted the Mishnah Daf Ein Hei Amanov to be. The ratio where she's still in her father's house is equivalent to someone saying, Manali Biyadcha, you owe my father a mana. Since the girl is only Mekudeshes, and if she were to get divorced, the Ksuba would go to her father, and she's still a minor, the claimant against her husband is her father. Therefore, the Chazaka of her body cannot be used to support his claim. And the sefer where the defect is discovered after she's married is equivalent to someone saying, Mana libiyadcha, you owe me a mana, since in that case the ksuba is paid to her. Therefore, her chazaka supports her claim for the ksuba. So the newly married nurse with the IV bag who just told her husband who discovered her mum, Mana libiyadcha, ignored the pleas of a donkey owner to hook it up to his dead donkey so he could try to keep a newly acquired cow. Which reminds me, review said in the name of Shmuel, Amachli para b'chamor, if someone exchanges a cow for a donkey, mashach b'al chamor is a para, and the original owner of the donkey pulled the cow to effect the kinyan, but the owner of the cow did not have a chance to pull the donkey before the donkey died, as it was in a different location at the time, and he now claims that the donkey died before the cow was pulled, sold so that the kenyan never took effect, it's on the owner of the donkey to bring proof that his donkey was still alive at the time the cow was pulled. If he could not prove it, he must return the cow to its original owner. So the newly married nurse with the IV bag, who just told her husband who discovered her womb, Manli Biyadcha, ignored the pleas of a donkey owner to hook it up to his dead donkey so he could try to keep a newly acquired cow, and brought it instead to the young woman who had an epileptic seizure. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated that the Chachamim said that the rulings were stated b'mumin shebaseser with regards to defects in unexposed parts of the body. Rav Nachman said, "V'nikva k'mumin shebaseser dami." An epilepsy where seizures cause the woman to fall to the ground is like defects in unexposed parts of the body. The Gemara clarifies that this is only when the condition has a fixed time, so the woman can conceal it by not going out. But if the time is not fixed, it's like a defect in an exposed part of her body, since her condition is probably known. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step do you learn that a defect for a woman includes perspiration, a mole, or bad breath? That's on Duff. Ein hey. Good. Number 2. Which step do you learn a woman is over das yehudas if she wears a kalasa, a head basket? That's on Duff. Ein beis. Good. Number 3. Which step do you learn that epileptic seizures that come at set times are considered a mum shebaseser, a concealed mum? That's on Duff. Ein vav. Good. Number 4. Which step do you learn about the disease of Ra'asan and how Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would learn near people afflicted with it? That's on Duff. Ein Zion. Good. Number 5. Which step do you learn that women prefer to be married than single, even if it means marrying someone who's short as an ant or combs wool as a profession? That's on Duff. Ein hey. Good. Number 6. Which step do you learn about the mice Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and the Malach HaMavis and being taken to Gan Eden? That's on Duff. Ein Zion. Good. Number 7. Which step do you learn the difference between when a woman goes to be matir a nether from a chochem versus going to a doctor to heal a defect? That's on Duff. Ein Dalet. Good. Number 8. Which step do we discuss doing a kinyan chalitin with a cow and a donkey, and after mashiach was done on the cow, it was discovered that the donkey had died? That's on Duff. Ein Vav. Good. Number 9. Which step do we learn if the wife's mumin are discovered in her husband's house, she can say Manli Biyadcha? That's on Duff. Ein Vav. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we learn about men that a wife might find repulsive and that she's permitted to divorce, such as a tanner? That's on Duff. Ein Zion. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.